Hello, this is Dr. Larry Wilson, and this tape is about nutrition and allergies. Allergies are of many types. The common allergies we think of: hay fever and hives and runny nose and that sort of thing. But this is actually only one of the more pretty common types. There are other types of allergies. For example, food allergies we are also going to discuss on this tape. Another type are called brain allergies, and these are similar except that the symptoms occur within the brain. There's release of histamine in the brain, and so the symptoms are very different, and they cause behavioral symptoms. And that can range from depression to rage and behavioral problems in children, and we see it with food colorings and food additives and that kind of thing. But those are sometimes called central nervous system allergies. And then there are what they call pan-allergic syndromes. That is to say, people become allergic to everything, or they become allergic to a large number of things. And sometimes these allergic syndromes are called multiple chemical sensitivity or environmental illness. And they're more severe. These people get to the point where they can't walk down supermarket aisles where there's bleach or some kind of chemical products. They can't be around other people who are wearing perfume. And the body becomes hypersensitive to many, many different chemicals or foods or other things. So those are some of the topics that I'll address. Another type of allergy would be your shock reactions that occur with bee stings, and these are very, very severe and can lead to death. They occur with drugs, occasionally with foods such as sulfites or other things, so that's another type, and we'll kind of incorporate that in the discussion. Now, before we get into the different types of allergies and causes, I want to mention a concept that will come in very handy in understanding allergies. And that's the concept of metabolic types. Sometimes we call them oxidation types, because the allergic conditions are different in these two types. And they are body types. They're metabolic types. They can change. A person can change. And most people are in what we call a slow oxidizer type. And this is an exhaustion stage of stress in terms of the stages of stress. The stages of stress is a concept by Dr. Hans Selye, who is considered the father of the stress theory of disease. He found that animals went through three stages: alarm, resistance, and exhaustion. Now, most people are in the exhaustion stage. And in that stage, the adrenal glands are depleted. And that has to do with their allergies. Also, people in that stage often have intestinal problems for various reasons. Low energy, improper flora, yeast infections, toxic metals, and other things. And this can contribute to food allergies, but it can also put more stress on the adrenals, the toxins generated in the intestines, and that can contribute to allergies. And their allergies tend to be the chronic type, the people who get their seasonal allergies and they just kind of got it all the time, or it comes and goes, but it's there. Now, the fast oxidizers are another metabolic type. They are not as common. There aren't as many of them. Children tend to be in this group. And those people, the adrenals are overworking. They're stressed, and they have less reserve capacity, we might say. They're working at their maximum. They're not exhausted, but they're at their maximum. And these people can also experience allergies. They tend to be more severe, more acute. Some of the asthma attacks that the children get that are very, very profound and serious and come on quickly and sometimes lead to death. Those are usually the fast oxidizer types. They also get allergies for a different reason, and that is increased cell permeability. An allergy, in general, if we wanted to define it, occurs when a substance that's not supposed to get into your body gets inside. And it's a foreign protein, And it causes a reaction in the body which involves the release of histamine and mast cell from mast cells and other sort of reactions. And this is triggered by somehow something gets inside. It can be dust and mold and things in the air. But it can also be from your intestine. And the fast oxidizer type has a lowered cell permeability in general. And so they are more prone to this cause of allergies. So I wanted to introduce these two metabolic types because the food for these people is different, the supplements are different, and the symptoms are often different in order to balance out the metabolic type. For example, the fast oxidizer needs more fat and oil in their diet. They must have this. If they don't get enough fat and oil, their oxidation rate gets too fast and they get worse. So for example, children, like mother's milk is high in fat. That's not an accident. It does have some sugar in it, but it's high in fat. And the children need that fat because they're fast oxidizers. And adults who are fast oxidizers need fat and oil with every meal. Slow oxidizers do not do well in fat. They need a lower fat diet. They need protein with every meal. And so the diet needs to be different. And there are supplements that balance the oxidation rate in fast and different ones for slow. That's also important to get rid of allergies. In other words, if one is a slow oxidizer, one has to balance that, and then that helps get rid of the cause of the allergies. So I want to introduce that concept. If we have time at the end of the tape, I'll come back and go into more detail on it, but right now I'll just introduce the idea because we'll use it. So let's talk about allergies and these different metabolic types. Let's talk about cell permeability. As I mentioned, the cells need to be permeable to nutrients and hormones and things like this, but not permeable to molecules that are foreign that cause allergies. Now, calcium has a stabilizing effect on cell membranes. And actually, many nutrients are involved in cell membranes. Cell membranes are quite complex little structures. They're influenced by the type of fats we eat, and they're influenced by a number of nutrients, and then there is the role of calcium and magnesium, which cause stabilization of the cell membranes. In the fast oxidizer, the calcium and magnesium tend to run low, and this is part of what's called the fight or flight reaction. In other words, by having a little more permeable cell membranes, more nutrients, more hormones get in there, get inside, and stimulate cell activity, which is the fight or flight. In other words, more sugar gets in there, more of the hormones, like the thyroid hormones, get in there, and the cellular activity is increased. And so the problem there is that when the calcium and magnesium are low, a person is also more prone to certain allergic phenomena because of the higher cell permeability. And so that is one cause of allergies. When we think of, you know, exactly what causes allergies, the mechanisms, and I don't mean the body's response with the histamine and all that. I mean, why? You know, why does one person have it and the other does not? Well, one reason is some people have too much cell permeability. The cells are too permeable. And this is helped by certain nutrients. Calcium and magnesium are among them. Copper helps raise and retain calcium and magnesium in the body. Zinc sometimes helps. And bioflavonoids, some people have heard of this substance. Bioflavonoids are found under the rind of oranges and grapefruit. And bioflavonoids are excellent for allergies. I used to take pills that were, when I used to have allergies, vitamin A, vitamin C, because vitamin C helps connective tissue and other things and immune system. Vitamin A helps zinc to work better. And then bioflavonoids. And the bioflavonoids are known to enhance cellular structures and therefore reduce permeability. In other words, help the cell to be more the firmer kind of structure, more intact structure. And so bioflavonoids are used. I used to take 5 or 6 of these tablets, and that was it. My allergies would be gone for the day. So for that type of problem, these nutrients are helpful. also to stabilize cell membranes, sometimes the fats in the diet are poor in quality. You know, if you're living on French fries and vegetable oils that are refined, vegetable oils like corn and sunflower and safflower oil and soy oil, these are not very good for your cell membranes. What are much better are the olive oil, the coconut oil, often the fat from meats. You know, the saturated fats are better. They don't go rancid and they're not refined. And nut butters have some good oils in them, almond butter and things like this. So that's one cause of allergy. It has to do with the permeability of your cells. Now, in the slow oxidizer type, you have a different situation. In these folks, and this is more common, and by the way, you could, in theory, have a little bit of both going on for different sort of combination. But in the slow metabolizers, the adrenals are exhausted. The adrenal glands are hypoactive, they're underactive. Now, the adrenal glands produce cortisol, and adrenaline, or epinephrine, norepinephrine. It's the same thing as adrenaline and noradrenaline. These substances specifically are anti-inflammatory, and they specifically stop allergies. So this is the reason why if someone gets a bee sting or something that causes a severe reaction and you go to the doctor, they give you a shot of adrenaline. It works very quickly. Sometimes you'll get a shot of cortisone for allergies. They sell cortisone cream that you put on your skin when you have allergic phenomena on your skin. These substances stop allergies. If your body is producing enough of these substances, you will be protected from many allergies, from many allergic phenomena. The problem is that in many, many, many people, the adrenals are not producing enough of these substances. Now, in the fast oxidizer, the adrenals are producing more of these things. However, if you are exposed to, you know, some overwhelming stress or allergen, you overwhelm the system and the adrenals do not have the backup capacity because they're already sort of running as fast as they can. And you can get an allergic reaction. In other words, even though the adrenals are in good shape, you can overwhelm the system and you don't get the response, the proper response, which is to control the allergic response. In the slow oxidizer, the adrenals are simply depleted, nutritionally depleted, and or toxic. And because of that, they do not produce enough of the cortisone and cortisol and possibly adrenaline, and you get allergic phenomena occurring chronically. That means all the time, or there's a tendency for it. And of course, it depends how depleted they are. It might take a large exposure to overwhelm them, or it might take a very small exposure if they're quite depleted. And of course, there are people who have this all the time. That's how depleted their system is. Okay, and most people fall into this category. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this adrenal depletion, but I'll just mention a few. Fatigue will do it. I mean, the adrenals are your fight or flight glands. If you're fighting and flighting all the time, if you're not resting enough, your allergies will get worse. And most people notice, I certainly did when I grew up with asthma and allergies, and then I had them later in my life until I got my chemistry fixed. Now I don't get them very much. If I get very cold, though, I will sneeze. And that's because stress depletes your adrenals. Any kind of stress at all depletes your adrenals. Fatigue is a big factor, though. And I used to find that if I didn't get enough sleep, for example, I would be more allergic. Now, the other thing, of course, is the allergies will make you sleepy. And the reason for that is because the adrenals are working overtime to try to deal with the allergies. And so that you use up those hormones, what they call the stress hormones, but they also give you energy. And so you get tired. Another cause of adrenal exhaustion is depletion of nutrients. For example, there's more vitamin C in your adrenal glands than anywhere else in your body. There's a story about Stephenson, the great explorer of the Arctic Circle, that his men were dying of scurvy. And it was, you know, freezing and they didn't have any fresh food. And they came across an old Eskimo And the Eskimo took one look at the man, and he could see what the problem was. He probably didn't know what to call it, but he knew the problem. And so he took, and he killed a seal or some animal like that, and he took out the adrenal glands, and he fed them to the men, and the men recovered from their scurvy because the adrenals are full of vitamin C. Another nutrient that they require is pantothenic acid. They require the B vitamins, but particularly the pantothenic acid. And pantothenic acid in high doses is used for allergies. So is vitamin C. Another nutrient that we use for these people, we don't use it for the other type of people, by the way. They'll make them worse for other reasons because they need other things, is adrenal glandular. This is a freeze-dried extract of adrenal gland, usually just defatted adrenal, from a cow, usually. And you take that, and it helps your adrenals deal with allergies, and you feel better, often very fast. Other nutrients required by the adrenals are things like boron, zinc, vitamin A, vitamin E. All these nutrients are required for the adrenal glands. And so many, many, many people are low in these nutrients. And then you become more prone to allergies. Okay, so we have stress as a cause. Cold, fatigue, tension of any kind, and nutritional depletion. Another cause of weak adrenals is what we call sympathetic dominance. Now, the sympathetic nervous system is that fight or flight system. It turns on the adrenals, but if they're turned on all the time, they get worn out. Animals are very good at balancing their sympathetic and parasympathetic systems. The parasympathetic system turns off the adrenals and rests them, and is the regenerative, renewing system, nurturing, nourishing system. And so you need a balance of these two. And many people run around all the time. They're what we call sympathetic dominance. Their brain is on, their muscles are on, they're using up their adrenals, they're depleting them, and they're not resting enough. And I don't just mean sleeping enough, but it has to do with your whole mental state, your whole attitude, and other things. They can be worrying, for example. You may not be running around, but you can be in worry and fear and anger, other things like this, emotions. And all this depletes those little glands. And those people also end up with allergies. So sympathetic dominance is another cause of allergy problems, especially in the slow oxidizers. By the way, it can be in their fast oxidizers for a different reason. The sympathetic can be overworking. We said the adrenals can be overworking, and there isn't much reserve. But many people, the adrenals are weak because of overuse. And then a final reason is toxic substances in the adrenals, toxins. And the adrenals can become toxic with heavy metals. There are things like lead and arsenic, and some of these can settle in these organs and impair their functioning. And then for that reason, they do not produce the hormones that they're supposed to produce, and the person becomes prone to allergies. And by the way, some people classify allergic people as high histamine and low histamine. This is similar to this fast and slow. There was a Dr. Pfeiffer, and he used that terminology. The fast oxidizers tend to be high histamine, and the slow oxidizers tend to be lower histamine. They both produce histamine. And you can use antihistamines, of course, for allergies as a symptomatic remedy. We always want to get rid of the cause, though. We don't want to just deal with symptoms because, first of all, then you're hooked on medicine and you're not really solving the problem and you'll get something worse later. Now, those are some of the main causes of just simple causes of basic allergies. Adrenal problems, and cell permeability problems. And as I say, the secondary or underlying causes can be nutritional depletion, toxic substances, stress, personality, which means sympathetic dominant, and that sort of thing. And you can use the symptomatic nutrients that I just mentioned, bioflavonoids, calcium, magnesium, vitamin C, vitamin A, E, zinc, all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we'd like to go beyond that, which means balancing the chemistry. Okay, now another factor, which is a stress factor in many cases that causes the adrenal or is associated with the adrenal exhaustion because of, as a stress. But I'm going to look at it as a separate idea because it specifically deals with food allergies, is food problems. Now, there are different sources for these food allergies, sometimes called food sensitivity or food intolerance. And some people make a difference when they say those three things. They mean something different. In other words, I think food intolerance, they just mean that it causes a sort of a mechanical problem in your body, whereas food allergy, they mean it causes an immune globulin response, your regular histamine and all that stuff kind of response. I'm not going to make that distinction because I think it's kind of borderline. It's hard sometimes to distinguish those things. But I'll just give you an idea of what can cause this. But it's related to the adrenals because anything that puts more stress on the body stresses the adrenals. See? Now, that can be, for example, the food itself. You know, not any additives or anything, just the food. There are certain foods that people are intolerant to. And you probably know people, they can't eat eggs, or they can't eat peanut butter, or they can't eat wheat. That's a very common. The most common ones are wheat and cow's milk dairy, I would say. Those are very common, what they call allergic foods. But another very common one, for example, sugar. Now, you may not have a reaction to sugar, a direct reaction, but it definitely upsets your body chemistry and causes what you might call an allergic reaction or a reaction. And some people get tired, depressed, other things just from eating sugar. But it can be any food, actually. Those are the most common. Wheat, cow's milk, dairy, soy is a very, very common one. Sometimes the other dairy products. And then there are many other ones that are less common. Yeast is one of them. Peanuts is a fairly common one. Although in the case of peanuts, I think it's something else many times, which we're going to talk about, which is poisons in the food, specific poisons in the food. For example, peanuts can get moldy, and they develop aflatoxin mold, very, very toxic. And so it can be the aflatoxin, not the peanuts, that are causing the problem. But it is possible to have a food. The next thing is a food toxin, you know, some toxin in the food like the aflatoxin. Fruit juices can be moldy, something like that. And then you can have additives and pesticides on food. In other words, the food may be preserved with something, and they might have used pesticide on the food. I knew somebody that they could eat turkey from an organic turkey on Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving, this person used to get sick. And then one year, he went to someone's house, and they had an organic turkey, and he didn't get sick. And he thought he was just allergic to turkey, and he'd put up with it, but it wasn't. It was something in the turkey from the pesticides or something used on the turkey. And unfortunately, a lot of our food is loaded, and I mean loaded, with these additives. There's some 3,000 additives, and they don't have to all be listed on the label. And, you know, we think of, well, I'll get one or two. No, in a typical food, and especially in a typical meal, you might be getting 20 or 30. And they might be combining in ways that you can't even imagine, you know, some chemical reaction that no one could predict. So food chemicals can be the source of the allergy, and actually we call it a food allergy, but it's just a reaction to a chemical. Just like it can be a chemical in the air, it can be a pesticide, or it can be some kind of a mold or dust in the air. You're just taking it in this case, through your intestine. Now, another cause of food problems are food processing. Some people can eat, I don't know, whole wheat, but when they get to the flour, you know, that gives them problems because it's processed in such a way that it's broken down and it's something's done to it. By the way, sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes food processing enhances a food. For example, soy has a lot of problems with it. People don't realize it, but soy has enzyme inhibitors, it has thyroid inhibitors, it has phytates and things in it that are not very good for you. And sometimes that's the cause of soy allergies. Now, the Japanese, thousands and thousands of years ago, perfected ways to ferment the soy and process the soy in ways that get rid of some of those things, and they make products called tofu and tempeh, and these are actually much better for most people than soy protein, you know, hamburger helper and all the soy textured vegetable protein and that sort of stuff. And in that case, food processing actually enhances the food. And that is possible. For example, the corn is treated with alkali with a little bit of calcium and lye, and it actually enhances the nutritional value of the corn. Even polishing rice sometimes enhances the certain vitamins and things. In other cases, though, and in many cases today, food processing makes the food worse. Instead of a whole food, you're getting kind of milled, and then it gets oxidized, for example. If you mill grains, if you grind them, they begin to oxidize very, very rapidly. And so you end up with slightly rancid oil, and you're not even aware of it, but that can be the cause of the problem. Coffee, for example. As soon as you grind coffee, it begins to go rancid, the oils and the beans. And so then you buy this coffee, and you don't know how long it was sitting on the shelf, even though it was packed in nitrogen or vacuum-packed. It started to get rancid. Then you put it in your refrigerator, and that isn't enough. And some people don't even do that. They just leave the coffee out. I would always store coffee in a freezer. I don't recommend coffee. It's a stimulant. It's hard on your adrenals. Stimulants, all kinds of stimulants, are rough on your adrenals, by the way. That means coffee, cigarettes, stimulant drugs, certainly. All kinds of things like this are rough on the adrenals and will make allergies worse. So getting rid of coffee and caffeine-containing beverages like soda pop are excellent to help allergies. Even though you may feel tired for a while, if you take some nutrients, build up your adrenals, often your allergies will be better than if you're drinking a lot of coffee. Okay. It can be food processing is a problem. Another thing is food habits and eating habits. Because if you don't chew your food properly, if you eat too fast, if you bolt your food, if you are anxious at mealtime, that's a big one, or in a hurry at mealtime or eating in your car, then you will not digest your food as well. When you don't digest your food as well, it doesn't break down, and some of the larger molecules remain. And especially if you have something called leaky gut syndrome, you absorb some of these molecules, and they are definitely foreign proteins. That is, they are allergens. And they add to your overall allergic load, is what happens. So eating habits are very, very important. You want to eat slowly, chew thoroughly, sit down at meals. Don't eat in front of the refrigerator or in your car. That's even worse. Have relaxed meals. Don't have loud music blaring. You can have soft music. Don't be watching something horrible on the TV or something. You don't want to be yelling at your children at mealtime or, you know, arguing with your spouse. It's not a time for that. And you want to just relax at mealtimes. Animals are very good at it. Just watch animals. If they get upset, they stop eating. You don't want to be answering the telephone and doing work while you're eating. That's no good. So eating habits are important here. Okay. Now, those are some causes of these food allergies. What they result in, and another cause, which is important, is called leaky gut syndrome. That's where your intestine, we were talking about cell permeability before. Well, in most of your slow oxidizers in particular, the fast often have better digestion. But the slow, the gut, the intestine becomes too permeable. And then these large molecules, pesticides, chemicals, food chemicals, additives, preservatives, they get inside your body and they cause allergic reactions. And often the foods can cause the same symptoms as the mold and the dust. In other words, you suddenly start sniffling. A lot of people, they drink milk, they get all congested. You can get hives from eating a food. So it causes the same symptoms, the same phenomena. But the leaky gut can be due to many things, and I'll just mention a few of them. One is an infection in your intestines. Many people have Candida albicans, or they have E. coli, or they have amoebas, or some other parasite. These are infections in your intestine. And they damage the wall in the intestine, and they make it more permeable to foreign substances. Other people have nutritional deficiencies. The intestine turns over very, very rapidly, and it needs a lot of nutrients because of that. The tissue turns over rapidly. It needs a wide range of vitamins and minerals and amino acids. Protein is very, very important for your intestine. And if your diet is deficient, which most diets are, then, well, you don't get those, and you'll end up often with this leaky gut syndrome. Another thing that the food allergy thing can be influenced by is toxic metals. For example, copper, which is extremely common to have copper imbalance. Probably 3/4 of the hair analyses and the mineral tests that I do, you've got copper imbalance. And what copper does, copper is used to fight yeast infections, for example, naturally. It's a natural yeast fighter. They put copper in water supplies, hot tubs, swimming pools to kill yeast. When the copper is out of balance, the yeast can grow, and it's very hard to get rid of it. And if you eat sugar, it's even worse, or carbohydrates, too much carbohydrates. So what the copper does, copper imbalance causes the proliferation of yeast infections. Now, actually, copper is used to fight other infections. And so when you have a copper imbalance, you're prone to other kinds of intestinal infections, which are very common today. You know, they're foodborne infections of kinds. Other minerals, copper weakens the immune system, but other minerals just weaken the body's immune system. Cadmium, lead, arsenic. Mercury definitely interferes with the immune system, and so they can do that. Other toxic metals replace good minerals in body structures, like cadmium replaces zinc, lead replaces calcium, and when this happens, whatever the structure is, whether it's your adrenal glands or your intestine or whatever, nasal membranes, you know, membranes of your nose and other areas, your skin, it just doesn't function very well. So toxic metals play a huge role in allergies of all kinds. Toxic metals can do a lot of other things. They can congest the organs, like the liver and the kidneys, and impair the production of vital substances needed to deal with allergies. So in addition to intestinal infections, nutrient deficiencies, toxic metals contributing to food allergies and all allergies, the gut flora is another big one. You know, you're supposed to have, there's Acidophilus and Lactobacillus bifidus, and there's several of them that you're supposed to have in your intestine. These are called the friendly bacteria. And they help digest your food. They produce a number of vitamins. They ward off infections. They keep the intestine acidic, slightly acidic. And if that is disturbed for any reason, you end up often with food allergies and allergies in general. And there are many ways to disturb it. One of them is just to have a copper imbalance, which causes the candida albicans to grow instead of the normal ones. Another way is to take antibiotics, because the antibiotics kill off the good bacteria, and then the bad bacteria start growing. And unfortunately, there are antibiotic residues in our food today. Matter of fact, they have found antibiotic residues in the water supplies. So they're everywhere. These drugs do not break down. And so unless you are careful, unless you're drinking very good spring water or distilled water, unless you're eating food that is organically grown and not fed antibiotics, because most antibiotics, you know, are fed to animals, not people. And plenty are fed to people. A lot are fed to animals. You are getting antibiotics just in your food, your regular food. And by the way, that can cause allergies, just these chemicals. But anyway, they upset your gut flora, and you end up with leaky gut and food allergies for that reason. There are other reasons why people have improper intestinal flora. It can be due to various infections, various pH problems, you know, too much acidity, too much alkalinity. The colon needs to be acidic. And if the body's too alkaline, then it's hard for the correct flora to flourish there, and so forth. Okay, another reason for problems with leaky gut is simply tension. Again, that would be called sympathetic dominance. The sympathetic dominance not only affects the adrenal glands, but it turns off the intestines. In other words, sympathetic dominance, you're not supposed to be eating. So the intestinal juices, the gastric juices, are shut down. And when that happens, if it happens chronically, it affects the entire gut, the entire mobility and the all the bile and the pancreatic enzymes and all that stuff. And you simply don't digest your food very well. So sympathetic activity impairs digestion and is associated with food allergies. Another factor is simply food toxins that are simply toxic to the intestines. And the final one is inflammation of your intestine for any reason. Inflammation tends to cause more permeability and in the gut, and that can be due to the food, the food additives, infections, certain diseases like Crohn's disease and colitis and irritable bowel syndrome, food allergies like gluten sensitivity, in other words, SPRU. All these things cause inflammation or can cause inflammation of the intestine. Okay. Now, what you can see from this, and this is the point I want to take away, I'd like you to take away from this tape, is that while allergies can be a local phenomenon, they also have to do a lot with your overall health, your overall chemistry, and your overall lifestyle. That's how much you sleep, how you eat, your eating habits, your thinking habits, your fears and your worries, and how you deal with things, your attitudes, and so forth. And so whenever I work with someone with allergies, I'm not interested in just a symptomatic approach. Here, try this pantothenic acid or some vitamin C. And if we're lucky, it works. Fine. Well, that's a very superficial approach. And unfortunately, that is the medical approach to most diseases, is here's a remedy, try it. I'd much rather look at everything and start fixing everything, because then what happens is, by doing a sort of whole-body approach and mind-body approach, it's the whole enchilada, we help a lot of things. We help not only allergies, but we can help many, many other conditions, and we can help prevent conditions. The most serious conditions are usually the ones that we don't even know about, that are developing deep inside us, and that, one day you get diagnosed with cancer, or you have a heart attack, or you have an aneurysm, or some stroke, something serious. So by improving everything, we improve the overall health of the body. And that's how I prefer to deal with allergies, rather than the symptomatic things. I did mention some of the symptomatic remedies, and there's nothing wrong with trying them in a pinch, or if you have a severe allergic reaction, bioflavonoids, calcium, magnesium, zinc, vitamin A, vitamin C, pantothenic acid. There are herbs that help allergies, such as stinging nettles. That's people often find that the stinging nettles are helpful, especially freeze-dried. So that's a general rundown on the allergies. Let's talk about a few other topics here. Let's talk about multiple chemical sensitivity. Environmental illness is another word sort of for it. And sometimes they're called pan-allergic syndromes. That pan means all. They're allergic to everything. And these folks, if you know anybody like this, it's a difficult situation, because anything and everything makes them ill. They can't eat many foods, they can't take many vitamin supplements, they can't take herbs, they can't go into the supermarkets, they can't go to parties where people are wearing cologne and perfume, they can't go to the movies because they might be with people, they have trouble in all kinds of places with this chemicals, like in cars with this synthetic upholstery and all sorts of things. Some of them have to live in the woods and eat very special diets and very restricted diets. They have to have their houses rebuilt. They can't have carpeting in the house because it harbors dust mites and dust and mold. And it's quite severe. It's a growing problem. And I'm very familiar with it because I was that way myself. I had gotten what we call adrenal burnout syndrome. And all these multiple chemical sensitivity people, in my experience, have adrenal burnout syndrome. That is, your adrenals are really shot. They're exhausted. They're depleted. They're toxic. The people are usually what we call sympathetic dominant. That means they just wear these glands out and they don't allow them to rebuild. and life is very miserable. Unfortunately, there's an emotional component, and it's hard to tell which causes which, because as you get very exhausted and very allergic, you become paranoid. You don't want to go out, and you don't want to try new foods, and you don't want to try supplements, because every time you do, you get sick, feel worse. And you become very depressed and very negative. Now, unfortunately, paranoia, depression, negativity, those feed back into your body. And they weaken you further. Because fear shuts down the adrenals, and people get very angry inside, because what's wrong with me, and why is this happening, and the doctors aren't helping me, and so forth. A lot of times it isn't even diagnosed, because conventional doctors are not really aware of this too much. They're getting more aware, but sometimes they don't even know what to make of it. So the emotions feed the physical, and the physical then feeds the emotions, and it goes back and forth. And so a key to breaking that, by the way, is to work emotionally. Spiritual development, I was helped by A Course in Miracles, which is it's sort of a spiritual book supposedly dictated by Jesus, channeled, who knows. But the ideas are very positive and uplifting and spiritual, and spiritual concepts are very helpful for these people, in addition to all the physical things we've been talking about. And by the way, emotional and spiritual work is good for all allergies, not just multiple chemical sensitivity, but all of them. Because anything that helps you to relax and to rest and to feel loved and appreciated and to know that there is a God or however you conceive of him or her and that things are okay will help your adrenals and will help you to feel better. But in the case of the multiple chemical sensitivity environmental illness, these people, it is most important. That is really just a panallergic, meaning an extreme allergic syndrome. And I used to be this way. I could eat about 4 foods. I couldn't be around people very much. And I had trouble walking down supermarket aisles. I get splitting headaches. It's horrible. I would ride in cars, and if they had leather, I couldn't handle that. If the inside of the car had been sprayed with perfume, I'd get sick from that. It's quite, anybody who knows it knows it's a very distressing syndrome. But the principles, when I do hair mineral tests on those people, they're the same. In other words, these people are completely exhausted, completely depleted adrenals. Their sodium potassium levels are very, very low, which is the adrenal exhaustion pattern. Some of them have a low sodium potassium ratio. That's another allergy pattern. There are specific patterns on a mineral test for allergies. And these are a couple of them. Low sodium potassium ratio, low sodium and low potassium levels. Some people have the opposite pattern with a low calcium magnesium. That's the fast oxidizer. Some people have the high calcium magnesium, and that's the slow oxidizer pattern. And the cure or the correction is similar, except that I would use more drastic means. Now, what I'm going to mention now will work for both types, but especially for the panallergic type, for the what they call MCS, multiple chemical sensitivity, or EI, environmental illness people. And that's saunas. And the reason they're good is because for the very allergic person, you don't have to take pills and you don't have to eat special foods. And that's very nice for them. Also, they're usually cold. And the warmth of the sauna is much appreciated and actually helps kills germs, helps improve circulation. And the most important thing probably is it helps get rid of toxic metals and toxic substances in the body. Because many, many times, all you have to do to get allergies is have an exposure to an allergen or a toxin. And it kind of depletes your body, and it stays in your body, and it causes a delayed kind of response. And from then on, you become more allergic. And many people report that to me. Well, I was exposed to pesticides, and ever since, you know, I can't be around pesticides, and I'm more sensitive. So that's what happens, and we have to get those chemicals out. Now, a nutrition program can do that. Cleaning up your diet, of course, helps. You know, breathing fresh air helps. Resting plenty, like 9 or 10 hours a day. When you have allergies, you need lots and lots of rest. All that helps. But getting those chemicals out and toxic metals is often difficult. And so I recommend sauna therapy. It's not the same as just using a sauna once in a while. You have to use it every day. Matter of fact, for most people, twice a day is the best. I actually have a book on sauna therapy called The Manual of Sauna Therapy because it's so effective and it's so wonderful. And I've only really explored this in the last couple of years here. There are different kinds of saunas. You can use a health club sauna, which is called a hot air sauna. It's a traditional sauna, like a sweat lodge. And they have little rocks. You can throw steam on them if you want, throw water. A better sauna is called a far infrared sauna. It heats the body from the inside. And it is more powerful, has a more potent effect. And the best type of sauna that I found is called an electric light sauna. It uses heat lamps. And the heat lamps are very powerful, and they heat you up even deeper inside. It is an infrared sauna because they're those red infrared heat lamps. And that's actually also the cheapest type, and it's very easy to set one up. And you can build one, or there are parts and kits available. I have some things available if no one is manufacturing them. The best place to look is on my website, www.drlwilson.com. That's Dr. L. Wilson, drlwilson.com. And there is an article and a write-up, and there's some plans, and there's something about sauna kits there. Because if you have allergies, and especially if you have the more extreme allergies or the MCS or the EI syndromes, the multiple chemical allergies, then to me, sauna therapy is for you. It's very potent. It's very excellent. It's very relaxing. It has about 5 or 6 different effects on the body. Multiple chemical sensitivity, they sometimes give people a little cortisone, low-dose cortisone. I think that's okay, but I think actually if you took enough adrenal glandular, you would get it because I think there's a little bit in there and that you don't need to take the hormones. The hormones have some problems because they can tend to shut down your adrenals, although a low dose seems to work out pretty well. But they're only one hormone. I always prefer to try to get your hormones working. And then there are many ways to detect food allergies using rotation diets, elimination diets. I actually take everybody off wheat, spelt, and cow's milk dairy. Now, that's even if you don't have allergies. That's if you have something else going on. Wheat, spelt, and cow's milk dairy and sugar. To me, those are not good foods for anybody today. And a lot of allergies go away just from doing that. Now, as you know, that's a lot of foods for wheat, for example, because you got all your bread and your pasta and your cookies and cakes and pies and all that. But they now have more and more wheat substitutes. More and more breads made out of whole rye or millet and rice. They have more and more pasta made out of corn and quinoa and rice and so forth. And you can get milk. My favorite is almond milk. I don't recommend the soy milk because soy is a problem for so many people. But I take everybody off the milk, the wheat, and the spelt. And a lot of times allergies improve quickly. And not just food allergies. In other words, often the hay fever improves, and the hives improve, and the runny nose improves, and that sort of thing. So that's because it all is this threshold activity. In other words, all the stress adds up on your adrenals. All of it adds onto each other. So if you're getting stress from food, if you're then getting stress because you don't sleep enough, if you're getting stress from some chemical exposure, bad air, or something in your house like dust. Well, you just start getting rid of the stress factors, and each time you get rid of one of the factors, the adrenals pick up a little bit. They do better. And so as part of a total program, which includes diet, supplements, lifestyle, and elimination of exposure, I take everybody off wheat, spelt, cow's milk dairy, and sugar, and sweeteners like fruit juice. And even a lot of fruit, I'd reduce the fruit. And the allergies often improve. And then another thing is to balance the chemistry, balance the metabolic rate, the oxidation rate. The fast people need us to be slowed down. The slow people need to speed up. That's done with different food categories, and it's done with different supplements for each one of them. You know, just briefly, the fast oxidizers require more calcium, magnesium, copper, zinc, vitamin A, vitamin D, bioflavonoids, and things like B12 and choline and inositol.
The slow oxidizers require more protein. The fast oxidizers require more fat, much more fat and oil. Slow oxidizers require more protein, low fat. They require more vitamin E, vitamin C, B complex, adrenal glandular, thyroid glandular are very good. And by the way, for fast oxidizers, we give them thymus glandular and sometimes pancreas and kidney and liver and those sorts of things. So the proper nutrients and the proper diet and then the proper lifestyle, and you really begin to shift things around. And then especially for the slow oxidizers, things like saunas are very, very excellent. And these are all whole body therapies. This is before you even get into symptomatic remedies, which we've mentioned earlier. And then, you know, working on your psychology and your attitudes are so important. I have a little book called The Real Self I wrote for my patients. The Real Self. It's a short book, just over 100 pages, but has large print. And it covers many areas of living from a sort of mystical perspective and gives a sort of positive twist on everything, on why things are happening, why do I feel bad, and what's going on in the world, and all this. And if you can adopt those positions, you will get well a lot faster. I found that in myself. It took 5 years of constant reminders, by the way. Remember to think this way. When you start getting down, turn it around. Think differently. I used some tapes that I had and other things to keep reminding me, keep me on the track. And then little by little, the ideas sink in. But they're all in that book. The basic ideas are in that book, and there are exercises in there to practice it. And you have to practice it because the whole world is quite negative and quite mixed up. And we're all products of it. So we have to change for ourselves first. But those are very helpful, and that book is very helpful. To change your attitudes and your mind, and then it takes all the stress off the adrenals. That's the basic thing. It takes the stress off the adrenals. Other techniques that can be very helpful for allergies because it takes stress off the adrenals are things like meditation, relaxation exercises, gentle exercise like yoga or tai chi rather than running or, you know, weights or something too intense. Weights don't have to be real intense, but swimming is pretty intense. You know, certain people are into jazzercise and bicycling, heavy bicycling. That stuff wears out your adrenals, whereas the gentle exercise does not. So it's a whole shift in lifestyle is a very important factor that's also very, very excellent for allergies. Sometimes you need an air cleaner in your house because certain environments, especially in cities, you can use these ionizers or HEPA filters. Actually, I think the HEPA filters are better, but the ionizers do help reduce particles in the air. And sometimes that's needed. Sometimes you need a filter on your water, or you use spring water or distilled water. Those are my favorites, spring water distilled, because the water is very important. But there can be factors in the home, or if there's something that's causing you not to sleep well, noise, or the bed needs fixing or changing, a different bed. These things need to be addressed, and sometimes they will be the key to getting rid of your allergies. So any stress factor will tend to make allergies worse. You know, certainly not sleeping enough and worrying, all that kind of stuff. Fear and anxiety, these things are pretty devastating for your adrenal glands. Okay. Well, I think that covers what I wanted to go over. And this gives you a good idea of some of the causes of allergies and how it relates to the adrenal gland, how food and nutrition relate specifically to it. And by the way, you can be allergic to supplements too. And sometimes it's the chemicals in the supplement, sometimes it's just the product itself. But this is a good overview, and also about some of the corrective methods, both the whole body methods, which I prefer, and some of the symptomatic remedies. And with that, we will conclude this tape.